Lift had never robbed a palace before. It seemed like a dangerous thing to try.
Not because I might get caught. Because once I rob a starving palace, where do I go next?
She climbed up onto the outer wall and looked in at the grounds. Everything inside, trees, rocks, buildings, reflected the starlight in an odd way. A bulbous-looking building stuck up in the middle of it all, like a bubble on a pond. In fact, most of the buildings were that same round shape, often with small protrusions sprouting out of the top.
There's not a straight line in the whole starving place. Just lots and lots of curves.
Lift's companions climbed up to peek over the top of the wall. A scuffling, scrambling, rowdy mess they were. 6 men, supposedly master thieves.
They can't even climb a wall properly.
The bronze palace itself.
Bronze? Is that what everything is made of, Hukin? Looks like a bunch of breasts.
The men looked at her aghast. They were all Azish, with dark skin and hair. She was Reshi, from the islands up north. Her mother had told her that, though Lift had never seen the place.
What?
Breasts! See, like a lady laying on her back. Those points on the tops are nipples. Bloke who built this place must have been single for a long time.
Hukin turned to one of his companions. Using their ropes, they scuttled back down the outside of the wall to hold a conference.
Grounds at this end look empty, as my informant indicated would be the case.
Hukin was in charge of the lot of them. He had a nose like someone had taken hold of it when he was a kid and pulled real, real hard. Lift was surprised he didn't smack people in the face with it when he turned.
Everyone's focused on choosing the new prime, Akasix. We could really do this. Rob the Bronze Palace itself, and right under the nose of the Vizirit.
The speaker was a thief named Maxon.
Is it, safe?
Hukin's nephew, Gawx, was in his teens, and puberty hadn't been kind to him. Not with that face and those spindly legs.
Hush!
No. The boy is right to express caution. This will be very dangerous.
Tig Zikik was considered the learned one in the group on account of his being able to cuss in 3 languages. Downright scholarly, that was. He wore fancy clothing, while most of the others wore black.
There'll be chaos, because so many people moved through the palace tonight. But there will also be danger. Many, many bodyguards and a likelihood of suspicion on all sides.
Tig Zikik was an aging fellow, and was the only one of the group Lift knew well. She couldn't say his name. She just called him Tig instead.
Tig Zikik, you were the one who suggested this. Don't tell me you're getting cold now.
I'm not backing down. I'm pleading caution.
Lift leaned down over the wall toward them.
Less arguing. Let's move. I'm hungry.
Why did we bring her along? She'll be useful. You'll see. She's just a child.
She's just a youth. She's at least 12.
I ain't 12.
They turned up toward her.
I ain't. 12's an unlucky number.
She held up her hands.
I'm only this many.
10?
Is that how many that is? Sure, then 10. If I can't count it on my fingers, it's unlucky. And I've been that many for 3 years now, so there.
Seems like there are a lot of unlucky ages.
Sure are.
Lift scanned the grounds again, then glanced back the way they had come into the city. A man walked down one of the streets leading to the palace. His dark clothing blended into the gloom, but his silver buttons glinted each time he passed a streetlight.
Storms, I didn't lose him after all.
She looked down at the men.
Are you coming with me or not? 'Cause I'm leaving.
She slipped over the top and dropped into the palace yards. Lift squatted there, feeling the cold ground.
Yep, it's metal.
Everything was bronze.
Rich people. Love to stick with a theme.
As the boys started climbing, a thin, twisting trail of vines grew out of the darkness and approached Lift. It looked like a little stream of spilled water picking its way across the floor. Here and there, bits of clear crystal peeked out of the vines, like sections of quartz in otherwise dark stone. Those weren't sharp, but smooth like polished glass, and didn't glow with stormlight. The vines grew super fast, curling around one another in a tangle that formed a face.
Mistress, is this wise?
Hello, Voidbringer.
I am not a Voidbringer, and you know it. Just stop saying that.
You're my pet Voidbringer, and no lies are going to change that. I got you captured. No stealing souls now. We ain't here for souls. Just a little thievery, the type what never hurt nobody.
The vine face, he called himself Windle, looked annoyed. Lift scuttled across the bronze ground over to a tree that was, of course, also made of bronze. Hooken had chosen the darkest part of night, between moons, for them to slip in, but the starlight was enough to see by on a cloudless night like this. Windle grew up to her, leaving a small trail of vines that people didn't seem to be able to see. The vines hardened after a few moments of sitting, as if briefly becoming solid crystal, then they crumbled to dust. People spotted that on occasion, though they certainly couldn't see Windle himself.
I'm a Spren, part of a proud and noble...
Hush!
Lift peeked out from behind the bronze tree. An open-topped carriage passed on the drive beyond, carrying some important Azish folk. You could tell by the coats. Big, drooping coats with really wide sleeves and patterns that argued with each other. They all looked like kids who had snuck into their parents' wardrobe.
The hats are nifty, though.
The thieves followed behind her, moving with reasonable stealth.
They really aren't that bad, even if they don't know how to climb a wall right.
They gathered around her, and Tigzikik stood up, straightening his coat, which was an imitation of those worn by the rich scribe types who worked in the government. Here, in Aesir, working for the government was real important. Everyone else was said to be discreet, whatever that meant.
Ready?
Tigzikik spoke to Maxon, who was the other one of the thieves dressed in fine clothing. Maxon nodded, and the two of them moved off to the right, heading toward the palace's sculpture garden. The important people would supposedly be shuffling around in there, speculating about who should be the next prime.
Dangerous job, that. The last two got their heads chopped off by some bloke in white with a shard blade. The newest prime didn't last two starving days.
With Tigzikik and Maxon gone, Lift only had four others to worry about. Hooken, his nephew, and two slender brothers who didn't talk much and kept reaching under their coats for knives. Lift didn't like their type. Thieving shouldn't leave bodies. Leaving bodies was easy. There was no challenge to it if you could just kill anyone who spotted you.
You can get us in, right?
Lift pointedly rolled her eyes. Then she scuttled across the bronze grounds toward the main palace structure.
Really does look like a breast.
Windle curled along the ground beside her, his vine trail sprouting tiny bits of clear crystal here and there. He was as sinuous and speedy as a moving eel, only he grew rather than actually moving.
Voidbringers are a strange lot.
You do realize that I didn't choose you.
His speaking left a strange effect. The trail behind him clotted with a sequence of frozen faces. The mouth seemed to move because it was growing so quickly beside her.
I wanted to pick a distinguished Iriali matron, a grandmother, an accomplished gardener. But no, the ring said we should choose you. She has visited the old magic, they said. Our mother has blessed her, they said. She will be young, and we can mold her, they said. Well, they don't have to put up with...
Shut it, Voidbringer!
Lift drew up beside the wall of the palace.
Or I'll bathe in blessed water and go listen to the priests. Maybe get an exorcism.
Lift edged sideways until she could look around the curve of the wall to spot the guard patrol. Men in patterned vests and caps with long halberds. She looked up the side of the wall. It bulged out just above her, like a rock bud, before tapering up further. It was of smooth bronze with no handholds. She waited until the guards had walked farther away.
All right. You gotta do what I say.
I do not.
Sure you do. I captured you, just like in the stories.
I came to you. Your powers come from me. Do you even listen
up to... Up the wall.
Windle obeyed, creeping up the wall in a wide, looping pattern. Lift hopped up, grabbing the small handholds made by the vine, which stuck to the surface by virtue of thousands of branching stems with sticky discs on them. Windle wove ahead of her, making a ladder of sorts. It was difficult, with that bulge, and Windle's handholds weren't very big, but she did it, climbing all the way to the near top of the building's dome, where windows peeked out at the grounds. She glanced toward the city. No sign of the man in the black uniform.
Maybe I lost him.
She turned back to examine the window. Its nice wooden frame held a very thick glass, even though it pointed east.
It's starving unfair how well Azimir is protected from high storms. They should have to live with the wind, like normal folk.
We need to Voidbring that.
She pointed at the window.
Have you realized that while you claim to be a master thief, I do all of the work in this relationship?
You do all the complaining, too. How do we get through this?
Do you have the seeds?
She nodded, fishing in her pocket. Then in the other one, then in her back pocket.
Ah, there they are.
She pulled out a handful of seeds.
I can't affect the physical realm except in minor ways. This means that you will need to use investiture to... Use investiture to...
Starving Voidbringers never can catch a hint.
Spread the seeds on the frame.
She did so, throwing the handful of seeds at the window.
Your bond to me grants two primary classes of ability. The first, manipulation of friction. You've already... Don't yawn at me. Discovered. We have been using that well for many weeks now, and it is time for you to learn the second, the power of growth. You aren't ready for what was once known as regrowth, the healing.
Time to summon my awesomeness.
Lift pressed her hand against the seeds. She wasn't sure how she did it. She just did. It had started right around when Wendell had first appeared. He hadn't talked then. She kind of missed those days. Her hand glowed faintly with white light, like vapor coming off the skin. The seeds that saw the light started to grow, fast. Vines burst from the seeds and wormed into the cracks between the window and its frame. The vines grew at her will. The glass cracked, then the window frame popped open. Lift grinned.
Well done! We'll make an edge dancer out of you yet.
Her stomach grumbled.
Oh, when did I last eat?
She'd used a lot of her awesomeness practicing earlier.
I probably should have stolen something to eat. I'm not quite so awesome when I'm hungry.
She slipped inside the window. Having a void bringer was useful, though she wasn't completely sure her powers came from him.
That's probably the sort of thing a void bringer would lie about.
She had captured him, fair and square. She'd used words. A Voidbringer had no body, not really. To catch something like that, you had to use words. Everybody knew it. Just like curses made evil things come find you. She had to get out a sphere, a diamond mark, her lucky one, to see properly in here. The small bedroom was decorated after the Azish way, with lots of intricate patterns on the rugs and the fabric on the walls, mostly gold and red here. Those patterns were everything to the Azish. They were like words. She looked out the window. Surely she'd escaped darkness, the man in the black and silver with the pale crescent birthmark on his cheek, the man with the dead, lifeless stare. Surely he hadn't followed her all the way from Marabethia. That was half a continent away. Well, a quarter one at the least. Convinced, she uncoiled the rope that she wore wrapped around her waist and over her shoulders. She tied it to the door of a built-in closet, then fed it out the window. It tightened as the men started climbing. Nearby, Wendell grew up around one of the bedposts, coiled like a sky eel.
Did you see that? She climbed right up it, not a handhold in sight. How?
Shush!
Lift began poking through the cabinets and drawers as the boys clambered in the window one at a time. Once inside, the thieves pulled up the rope and shut the window as best they could. Hukin studied the vines she'd grown from seeds on the frame. Lift stuck her head in the bottom of a wardrobe, groping around.
Ain't nothing in this room but moldy shoes.
You and my nephew will hold this room. The three of us will search the bedrooms nearby. We will be back shortly.
You'll probably have a whole sack of moldy shoes.
Ignorant child.
Hukin pointed to the wardrobe. One of his men grabbed the shoes and the outfits inside, stuffing them in a sack.
This clothing will sell for bundles. It's exactly what we're looking for.
What about real riches? Spheres? Jewelry? Art?
That will all be far too well guarded. The difference between a successful thief and a dead thief is knowing when to escape with your takings. This hall will let us live in luxury for a year or two. That is enough.
One of the brothers peeked out the door into the hallway. He nodded, and the three of them slipped out.
Listen for the warning.
Tigzikik and his accomplices below would listen for any kind of alarm. If anything seemed to be amiss, they'd slip off and blow their whistles. Hukin's nephew crouched by the window to listen, obviously taking his duty very seriously. He looked to be about 16.
Unlucky age, that.
How did you climb the wall like that?
Gumption. And spit?
He frowned at her.
I got's magic spit.
He seemed to believe her.
Idiot.
Is it strange for you here, away from your people?
She stood out. Straight black hair. She wore it down to her waist. Tanned skin, rounded features. Everyone would immediately mark her as Reshi.
Don't know. Ain't never been around my people.
You're not from the islands?
Nope. Grew up in Ral Ellarim.
The City of Shadows?
Yep.
Is it?
Yep, just like they say.
She peeked through the door. Hukin and the others were well out of the way. The hallway was bronze, walls and everything. But a red and blue rug with lots of little vine patterns ran down the center. Paintings hung on the walls. She pulled the door all the way open and stepped out.
Lift! They told us to wait here!
And?
And we should wait here! We don't want to get Uncle Hukin in trouble!
What's the point of sneaking into a palace, if not to get into trouble? This should be an interesting place, what with all the rich folk hanging around.
And there ought to be some really good food in here.
She padded out into the hallway, and Windle grew along the floor beside her. Interestingly, the nephew followed. She'd expected him to stay in the room.
We shouldn't be doing this!
Then stay.
They reached a large stairwell. Servants whisked back and forth below, even a few parshmen. But she didn't catch sight of anyone in one of those coats.
Where are the important folk?
Reading forms.
Forms?
Sure. With the Prime dead, the viziers, scribes, and arbiters were all given a chance to fill out the proper paperwork to apply to take his place.
You apply to be emperor?
Sure. Lots of paperwork involved in that, and an essay. Your essay has to be really good to get this job.
Storms. You people are crazy.
Other nations do it better? With bloody secession wars? This way everyone has a chance. Even the lowest of clerks can submit the paperwork. You can even be discreet and end up on the throne if you're convincing enough. It happened once.
Crazy.
Says the girl who talks to herself.
Lift looked at him sharply.
Don't pretend you don't. I've seen you doing it, talking to the air as if somebody were there.
What's your name?
Gawx.
Wow. Well then, Gaw, I don't talk to myself because I'm crazy.
No?
No, I do it because I'm awesome.
She started down the steps, waited for a gap between passing servants, then made for a closet to cross the way. Gawx followed. Lift was tempted to use her awesomeness to slide across the floor quickly, but she didn't need that yet. Besides, Windle kept complaining that she used the awesomeness too often, that she was at risk of malnutrition.
Whatever that means.
She slipped up to the closet using just her normal everyday sneaking skills and moved inside. Gawx scrambled into the closet with her just before she pulled it shut.
You should go back upstairs. This could be dangerous.
Oh, sneaking into the storming royal palace is dangerous. Thanks, I hadn't realized.
I mean it. Go back up, leave when Hukin returns. He'll abandon me in a heartbeat. Probably will you too.
Besides, she didn't want to be awesome with Gawx around. That started questions and rumors. She hated both. For once, she'd like to be able to stay someplace for a while without being forced to run off.
No! If you're gonna steal something good, I want a piece of it. Then maybe Hukin will stop making me stay behind, giving me the easy jobs.
Huh. So he has some spunk to him.
A servant passed carrying a large plate-filled tray. The food smells wafting from inside it made Lift's stomach growl.
Rich person food. So delicious.
She watched the woman go, then broke out of the closet following after. This was going to get difficult with Gawx in tow. He'd been trained well enough by his uncle, but moving unseen through a populated building wasn't easy. The serving woman pulled open a door that was hidden in the wall.
Servants always.
Lift caught it as it closed, waited a few heartbeats, then eased it open and slipped through. The narrow hallway was poorly lit and smelled of the food that had just passed. Gawx entered behind Lift, then pulled the door closed. The serving woman disappeared around a corner ahead. There were probably lots of hallways like this in the palace. Behind Lift, Windle grew around the doorframe, a dark green fungus-like creep of vines that covered the door, then the wall beside her. He formed a face in the vines and spots of crystal, then shook his head.
Too narrow?
He nodded.
It's dark in here. Hard to see us.
Vibrations on the floor, mistress. Someone coming this direction.
She looked longingly after the servant with the food, then shoved past Gawx and pushed open the door, entering the main hallways again.
Do you even know what you're doing?
No.
Lift scuttled around a corner into a large hallway lined with alternating green and yellow gemstone lamps. Unfortunately, a servant in a stiff black and white uniform was coming right at her. Gox ducked back around the corner. Lift stood up straight, clasped her hands behind her back, and strolled forward. She passed the man. His uniform marked him as someone important for a servant.
You there! What's this?
Mistress wants some cake.
Oh, for Yezir's sake! Food is served in the gardens! There is cake there!
Wrong type. Mistress wants berry cake.
Oh, kitchens are back the other way. Try and persuade the cook, though she'll probably chop your hands off before she takes another special request. Storming country scribes! Special dietary needs are supposed to be sent ahead of time with the proper forms.
He stalked off, leaving Lift with hands behind her back, watching him. Gox slunk around the corner.
I thought we were dead for sure.
Don't be stupid. This ain't the dangerous part yet.
At the other end, this hallway intersected another one with the same wide rug down the center, bronze walls and glowing metal lamps. Across the way was a door with no light shining under it. Lift checked in both directions, then dashed to the door, cracked it, peeked in, then waved for Gox to join her inside. She shut the door all but a crack.
We should go right down that hallway outside. Down that way, we'll find the Vizier's quarters. They're probably empty because everyone will be in the Prime's wing, deliberating.
You know the palace layout?
Yeah. I memorized the palace maps before we came. You didn't?
She shrugged.
I've been in here once before. I watched the Prime sleeping.
You what?
He's public. Belongs to everyone. You can enter a lottery to come look at him sleeping. They rotate people through every hour.
What? On a special day or something?
No, every day. You can watch him eat, too, or watch him perform his daily rituals. If he loses a hair or cuts off a nail, you might even be able to keep it as a relic.
Sounds creepy.
A little.
Which way to his rooms?
That way.
Gox pointed left down the hallway outside, the opposite direction from the Vizier chambers.
You don't want to go there, Lift. That's where the Viziers and everyone important will be reviewing applications in the Prime's presence.
But he's dead?
The new Prime.
He ain't been chosen yet.
Well, it's kind of strange. There's never not a Prime. We just don't know who he is yet. I mean, he's alive, and he's already Prime. Right now, we're just catching up. So those are his quarters, and the Scions and Viziers want to be in his presence when they decide who he is. Even if the person they decide upon isn't in the room.
That makes no sense.
Of course it makes sense. It's government. This is all very well detailed in the codes.
Azish could be real boring.
At least he can take a hint.
Anyway, everyone outside in the gardens is hoping to be called in for a personal interview. It might not come to that, though. The Scions can't be Prime, as they're too busy visiting and blessing villages around the kingdom. But a Vizier can, and they tend to have the best applications. Usually one of their number is chosen.
The Prime's quarters. That's the direction the food went.
What is it with you and food?
I'm going to eat their dinner.
You're... what?
I'm going to eat their food. Rich folk have the best food.
But... there might be spheres in the Vizier's quarters.
I just spend them on food.
Stealing regular stuff was no fun. She wanted a real challenge. Over the last 2 years, she'd picked the most difficult places to enter. Then she'd snuck in and eaten their dinners.
Come on!
She moved out of the doorway, then turned left toward the Prime's chambers.
You really are crazy.
Nah, just bored.
I'm going for the Vizier's quarters.
Suit yourself. I'd go back upstairs instead if I were you. You weren't practiced enough for this kind of thing. You leave me, you're probably going to get into trouble.
He fidgeted, then slipped off in the direction of the Vizier quarters. Lift rolled her eyes.
Why did you even come with them? Why not just sneak in on your own?
Tig Zikik found out about this whole election thing. He told me tonight was a good night for sneaking. I owed it to him. Besides, I wanted to be in here in case he got into trouble. I might need help.
Why bother?
Someone has to care. Too few people care these days.
You say this while coming in to rob people.
Sure, ain't gonna hurt them.
You have an odd sense of morality, mistress.
Don't be stupid. Every sense of morality is odd.
I suppose.
Particularly to a void bringer.
I'm not...
She grinned and hurried her pace toward the Prime's quarters. She knew she'd found those when she glanced down a side hallway and spotted guards at the end.
Yep.
That door was so nice. It had to belong to an emperor.
Only super rich folk build fancy doors. You need money coming out of your ears before you spend it on a door.
Guards were a problem. Lif knelt down, peeking around the corner. The hallway leading to the emperor's rooms was narrow, like an alleyway.
Smart. Hard to sneak down something like that. And those two guards, they ain't the bored type. They're the we gotta stand here and look real angry type.
They stood so straight. Lif would have thought someone had shoved brooms up their backsides. She glanced upward. The hallway was tall. Rich folk liked tall stuff. If they'd been poor, they'd have built another floor up there for their aunts and cousins to live in. Rich people wasted space instead. Proved they had so much money they could waste it. Seemed perfectly rational to steal from them.
There!
Lif pointed to a small ornamented ledge that ran along the wall up above. It wouldn't be wide enough to walk on, unless you were Lif, which, fortunately, she was. It was dim up there, too. The chandeliers were the dangly kind, and they hung low, with mirrors reflecting their sphere light downward.
Up we go. You gotta do what I say, or I'll prune you.
You'll prune me?
Sure. That sounds threatening, right?
Wendell grew up the wall, giving her handholds. Already the vines he'd trailed through the hallway behind them were vanishing, becoming crystal and disintegrating into dust.
Why don't they notice you? Is it because only the pure in heart can see you?
You're not serious.
Sure, that'd fit into legends and stories and stuff.
Oh, the theory itself isn't ridiculous. Merely the idea that you consider yourself to be pure in heart.
Oh, I'm pure.
Lif started climbing.
I'm a child and stuff. I'm so storming pure, I practically belch rainbows.
They reached the ledge. Wendell grew along the side of it, making it slightly wider, and Lif stepped onto it. She balanced carefully, then nodded to Wendell. He grew further along the ledge, then doubled back and grew up the wall to a point above her head. From there, he grew horizontally to give her a handhold. With the extra inch of vine on the ledge and the handhold above, she managed to sidle along, stomach to the wall. She then turned the corner into the hallway with the guards. She moved along it slowly, Wendell rapping back and forth, enhancing both footing and handholds for her. The guards didn't cry out.
I'm doing it!
They can't see me because I exist mostly in the cognitive realm. Even though I've moved my consciousness to this realm, I can make myself visible to anyone, should I desire. Though it's not easy for me. Other Spren are more skilled at it, while some have the opposite trouble. Of course, no matter how I manifest, nobody can touch me, as I barely have any substance in this realm.
Nobody but me?
You shouldn't be able to either. What did you ask for when you visited my mother?
I don't have to answer that. Not to a storming Voidbringer.
She eventually reached the end of the hallway. Beneath her was the door. Unfortunately, that was exactly where the guard stood.
This does not seem very well thought out, Mistress. Have you considered what you were going to do once you got here?
She nodded.
Well?
Wait.
They did. Lif, with her front pressed to the wall, her heels hanging out above a 15-foot drop onto the guards. She didn't want to fall. She was pretty sure she was awesome enough to survive it, but if they saw her, that would end the game. She'd have to run, and she'd never get any dinner. Fortunately, she'd guessed right. Unfortunately. A guard appeared at the other end of the hallway, looking out of breath and not a little annoyed. The other two guards jogged over to him. He turned, pointing the other way. That was her chance. Wendell grew a vine downward, and Lif grabbed it. She could feel the crystals jutting out between the tendrils, for they were smooth and faceted, not angular and sharp. She dropped, vine smooth between her fingers, pulling herself to a stop just before the floor. She only had a few seconds.
I caught a thief trying to ransack the Vizier quarters. Might be more. Keep watch. By Yezir himself, I can't believe they dare. Tonight of all nights!
Lif cracked open the door to the Emperor's rooms and peeked in. Big room. Men and women at a table. Nobody looking her direction. She slipped through the door. Then became awesome. She ducked down, kicked herself forward, and for a moment, the floor, the carpet, the wood beneath, had no purchase on her. She glided as if on ice, as she slid across the 10-foot gap. Nothing could hold her when she got slick like this. Fingers would slip off her, and she could glide forever. She didn't think she'd ever stop unless she turned off the awesomeness. She'd slide all the way to the storming ocean itself. Tonight, she stopped herself under the table using her fingers, which weren't slick, then removed the slickness from her legs. Her stomach growled in complaint.
I need food, real fast, or no more awesomeness.
Somehow you are partly in the cognitive realm.
Wendell coiled beside her and raised a twisting mesh of vines that could make a face.
It is the only answer I can find to why you can touch spread. And you can metabolize food directly into stormlight.
He was always saying words like those.
Trying to confuse me, starving Voidbringer.
Well, she wouldn't talk back to him. Not now. The men and women standing around the table might hear her, even if they couldn't hear Wendell.
Oh, the food's in here somewhere. I can smell it.
But why? Why did she give you this incredible talent? Why a child? There are soldiers, grand kings, incredible scholars among humankind. Instead, she chose you.
Food, food, food.
Liv crawled along under the table.
Your application was clearly the best, Doxy.
What? I misspelled 3 words in the first paragraph alone.
I didn't notice.
You didn't? Of course you noticed. But this is pointless because Actigic's essay was obviously superior to mine.
Don't bring me into this again. We disqualified me. I'm not fit to be prime. I have a bad back.
Ashno of Sages had a bad back. He was one of the greatest Emuli Primes.
My essay was utter rubbish, and you know it.
Wendell moved along beside Lift.
Mother has given up on your kind. I can feel it. She doesn't care any longer. Now that he's gone.
This arguing does not befit us. We should take our vote. People are waiting.
Let it go to one of those fools in the gardens.
Their essays were dreadful. Just look at what Pandre wrote across the top of hers.
I don't know what half of that even means, but it does seem insulting.
This finally caught Lift's attention. She looked up toward the table above.
Good cusses? Come on, read a few of those.
We'll have to pick one of them. Catasixes and stars, this is a puzzle. What do we do when nobody wants to be prime?
Nobody wants to be prime? Did the entire country suddenly grow some sense?
Liv continued on. Being rich seemed fun and all, but being in charge of that many people?
Pure misery, that would be.
Perhaps we should pick the worst application. In this situation, this would indicate the cleverest applicant.
6 different monarchs killed in a mere 2 months. High princes slaughtered throughout the East, religious leaders, and then 2 primes murdered in a matter of a single week. Storms. I almost think it's another desolation come upon us.
A desolation in the form of a single man. Yeser help the one we choose. It is a death sentence.
We have stalled too long as it is. These weeks of waiting with no prime have been harmful to Aesir. Let's just pick the worst application from this stack.
What if we pick someone who's legitimately terrible? Is it not our duty to care for the kingdom regardless of the risk to the one we choose?
But in picking the best from among us, we doom our brightest, our best, to die by the sword. Yezir, help us. Sion Ethid, a prayer for guidance would be appreciated. We need Yezir himself to show us his will. Perhaps if we choose the right person, he or she will be protected by his hand.
Lift reached the end of the table and looked out at a banquet that had been set onto a smaller table at the other side of the room. This place was very Aesish. Curls of embroidery everywhere. Carpets so fine, they probably drove some poor woman blind weaving them. Dark colors and dim lights. Paintings on the walls.
Huh. Someone scratched a face off of that one. Who'd ruin a painting like that, and such a fine one, the heralds all in a row?
Well, nobody seemed to be touching that feast. Her stomach growled, but she waited for a distraction. It came soon after. The door opened, likely the guards coming to report about the thief they'd found.
Poor Gox. I'll have to go break him out later.
Right now, it was time for food. Lift shoved herself forward on her knees and used her awesomeness to slick her legs. She slid across the floor and grabbed the corner leg of the food table. The momentum smoothly pivoted her around and behind it. She crouched down, the tablecloth neatly hiding her from the people at the room's center, and unslicked her legs.
Perfect!
She reached up a hand and plucked a dinner roll off the table. She took a bite.
Why is everyone quiet?
She risked a glance over the tabletop.
He's here.
The tall, Asish man with a white mark on his cheek like a crescent. Black uniform with a double row of silver buttons down the coat's front, a stiff silver collar poking up from a shirt underneath. His thick gloves had collars of their own that extended halfway back around his forearms.
Dead eyes.
This was Darkness himself.
Oh no.
What is the meaning of this?
I'm here for a thief.
Do you realize where you are? How dare you interrupt?
I have the proper forms.
One of his minions entered behind him, a man in a black and silver uniform, less ornamented. He proffered a neat stack of papers to his master.
Forms are all well and good, but this is not the time, Constable, for...
Lift bolted. Her instincts finally battered down her surprise, and she ran, leaping over a couch on her way to the room's back door. Wendell moved beside her and streaked. She tore a hunk off the roll with her teeth.
I'm gonna need this food.
Beyond that door would be a bedroom, and a bedroom would have a window. She slammed open the door, dashing through. Something swung from the shadows on the other side. A cudgel took her in the chest. Another of Darkness's minions stepped from the shadows inside the bedroom.
Even the chaotic can be predictable with proper study.
Lift gritted her teeth, curled up on the floor.
Didn't get enough to eat. So hungry.
The few bites she'd taken earlier worked within her. She felt the familiar feeling, like a storm in her veins. Liquid awesomeness. The pain faded from her chest as she healed. Wendell ran around her in a circle. A little lasso of vines sprouting leaves on the floor, looping her again and again. Darkness stepped up close.
Go!
She leaped to her hands and knees. He seized her by the shoulder, but she could escape that. She summoned her awesomeness. Darkness thrust something toward her. The little animal was like a kremlin, but with wings. Bound wings, tied up legs. It had a strange little face, not crabbish like a kremlin's, more like a tiny axe-hound with a snout, mouth, and eyes. It seemed sickly, and its shimmering eyes were pained.
How can I tell that?
The creature sucked the awesomeness from Lift. She actually saw it go, a glistening whiteness that streamed from her to the little animal. It opened its mouth, drinking it in. Suddenly, Lift felt very tired and very, very hungry. Darkness handed the animal to one of his minions, who made it vanish into a black sack he then tucked in his pocket. Lift was certain that the viziers, standing in an outraged cluster at the table, hadn't seen any of this, not with Darkness's back to them and the two minions crowding around.
Keep all spheres from her. She must not be allowed to invest.
Lift felt terror, panicked in a way she hadn't known for years, ever since her days in Ra'al El'Arim. Lift started, struggling, thrashing, biting at the hand that held her. Darkness didn't even grunt. He hauled her to her feet, and another minion took her by the arms, wrenching them backward.
No, I'll free myself. I can't be taken like this.
Wendell continued to spin around her on the ground, distressed. He was a good type for a void bringer. Darkness turned to the viziers.
I will trouble you no further.
Mistress, here.
The half-eaten roll lay on the floor. She dropped it when the cudgel hit. Wendell ran into it, but he couldn't do anything more than make it wobble. Lift thrashed, trying to pull free, but without that storm inside of her, She was just a child in the grip of a trained soldier.
I am highly disturbed by the nature of this incursion, Constable. Your paperwork is in order, and I see you even included a plea, granted by the arbiters, to search the palace itself for this urchin. Surely you did not need to disturb a holy conclave, for a common thief, no less.
Justice waits upon no man or woman, and this thief is anything but common. With your leave, we will cease disturbing you.
He didn't seem to care if they gave him leave or not. He strode toward the door, and his minion pulled Lift along after. She got her foot out to the roll, but only managed to kick it forward under the long table by the viziers.
This is a leave of execution. You will kill the child? For mere thievery?
Kill? No! No!
That, in addition to trespassing in the Prime's palace, and for interrupting a holy conclave in session.
The vizier met his gaze. She held it, then wilted.
Of course. Constable.
Darkness turned from her and pulled open the door. The vizier set one hand on the table and raised her other hand to her head. The minion dragged Lift up to the door.
Mistress! Oh dear. There is something very wrong with that man. He is not right. Not right at all. You must use your powers.
Storms! I'm trying!
You've let yourself grow too thin. Not good. You always use up the excess. Low body fat. That might be the problem. Though I don't know how this works.
Darkness hesitated beside the door and looked at the low-hanging chandeliers in the hallway beyond with their mirrors and sparkling gemstones. He raised his hand and gestured. The minion, not holding Lift, moved out into the hallway and found the chandelier ropes. He unwound those and pulled, raising the chandeliers. Lift tried to summon her awesomeness.
Just a little more. I only need a little.
Her body felt exhausted, drained. She really had been overdoing it. In the hallway, the minion tied off the chandeliers high in the air. Nearby, the vizier leader glanced from darkness to Lift.
Please.
The vizier pointedly shoved the table. It clipped the elbow of the minion holding Lift. He let go with that hand. Lift dove for the floor, ripping out of his grip. She squirmed forward, getting underneath the table. The minion seized her by the ankles.
What was that?
I slipped.
Watch yourself.
Is that a threat, Constable? I am beyond your reach.
Nobody is beyond my reach.
Lift thrashed underneath the table, kicking at the minion. He hauled Lift out by her legs, then pulled her to her feet. Darkness watched, face emotionless. She met his gaze eye to eye, a half-eaten roll in her mouth. She stared him down, chewing quickly and swallowing.
All that for a roll?
Come on!
They walked her down the hallway, then around the corner. One of the minions ran ahead and purposefully removed the spheres from the lamps on the walls.
Are they robbing the place?
No. After she passed, the minion ran back and restored the spheres.
Come on!
They passed a palace guard in the larger hallway beyond. He noted something about darkness. Perhaps the rope tied around his upper arm, which was threaded with an azish sequence of colors, and saluted.
Constable, sir? You found another one?
Darkness stopped, looking as the guard opened the door beside him. Inside, Gawx sat on a chair, slumped between two other guards.
Come on.
This one is not your concern.
One of his minions did the strange gemstone moving sequence.
Why did they worry about that?
Something stirred inside of Lift, like the little swirls of wind at the advent of a storm.
Something is...
Awesomeness returned. Lift became slick, every part of her but her feet and the palms of her hands. She yanked her arm, it slipped from the minion's fingers, then kicked herself forward and fell to her knees, sliding under Darkness's hand as he reached for her. Windle zipped along beside her as she began slapping the floor like she was swimming, using each swing of her arms to push herself forward. She skimmed the floor of the palace hallway, knees sliding across it as if it were greased. The posture wasn't particularly dignified. Dignity was for rich folk who had time to make up games to play with one another. She got going real fast, real quick, so fast it was hard to control herself as she relaxed her awesomeness and tried to leap to her feet. She crashed into the wall at the end of the hallway instead, a sprawling heap of limbs.
Well, that went way better than the last few times I tried this.
Her first attempt had been super embarrassing. She'd been so slick, she hadn't even been able to stay on her knees.
Lift! Behind!
She glanced down the hallway. She could swear darkness was glowing faintly, and he was certainly running too quickly.
Darkness is awesome, too!
That is not fair!
She scrambled to her feet and dashed down a side hallway, the one she'd come when sneaking with Gox. Her body had already started to feel tired again. One roll didn't get it far. She sprinted down the lavish hallway. Lift skidded around a corner, dashed toward the nice scents, and burst into the kitchens. She ran through the mess of people inside. The door slammed open behind her a second later.
Darkness.
Ignoring startled cooks, Lift leaped up onto a long counter, slicking her leg and riding on a sideways, knocking off bowls and pans. She came down off the other end of the counter as darkness shoved his way past cooks in a clump, his shard blade held up high. Lift snatched a sausage off a steaming plate, then pushed into the servant hallways. She chewed as she ran, Windle growing along the wall beside her, leaving a streak of dark green vines.
Where we go?
Away!
What has become of me? Thieving in the night, chased by abominations. I was a gardener, a wonderful gardener. Cryptics and honest spren alike came to see the crystals I grew from the mines of your world. Now this, what have I become?
A whiner?
Nonsense.
So you were always one of those then?
Lift looked over her shoulder. Darkness was just behind her. Lift reached a doorway and slammed her shoulder against it, scrambling out into the rich hallways again.
Exit. I need an exit. A window!
Her flight had just looped her around back near the Prime's quarters. She picked a direction by instinct and started running. But one of Darkness's minions appeared around a corner that way. He also carried a shard blade.
Some starving luck I have.
Lift turned the other way and passed by Darkness striding out of the servant hallways. She barely dodged a swing of his blade by diving, slicking herself and sliding along the floor. She made it to her feet without stumbling this time.
That's something at least.
Who are these men? Why do they care so much about you? There's something about those weapons they carry.
Shard blades, worth a whole kingdom, built to kill void bringers. And they have two of those things. Crazy. Built to kill void bringers? You! They're after you!
What? Of course they aren't.
They are! Don't worry. You're mine. I won't let them have you.
That's endearingly loyal, and not a little insulting. They are not after...
The second of Darkness's minions stepped out into the hallway ahead of her. He held Gox. He had a knife to the young man's throat. Lift stumbled to a halt.
Don't move, or I will kill him.
Starving bastard. That's dirty.
Darkness strode up behind her, the other minion joining him. They penned her in. The entrance to the Prime's quarters was actually just ahead, and the viziers and scions had flooded out into the hallway.
Well, this sort of thing never ends well.
Lift went with her gut, which was basically what she always did, and called the minion's bluff by dashing forward.
He's a lawman type. He won't kill a captive in cold blood.
Minion slit Gox's throat. Crimson blood poured out and stained Gox's clothing. The minion dropped him and stumbled back, as if startled by what he'd done. Lift froze.
He can't. He didn't...
Darkness grabbed her from behind.
That was poorly done.
So much blood.
You will be punished.
But I had to do as I threatened.
You have not done the proper paperwork in this kingdom to kill that child.
Aren't we above their laws?
Darkness actually let go of her, striding over to slap the minion across the face.
Without the law, there is nothing. You will subject yourself to their rules and accept the dictates of justice. It is all we have. The only sure thing in this world.
Lift stared at the dying boy, who held his hands to his neck as if to stop the blood flow.
Those tears.
The other minion came up behind her. She ran. She passed Darkness and pushed through the viziers. She barreled into the Prime's quarters, slid across the table, snatched another roll off the platter, and burst into the bedroom. She was out the window a second later.
Up!
She stuffed the roll in her mouth. Window streaked up the side of the wall and Lith climbed, sweating. A second later, one of the minions leaped out the window beneath her. He didn't look up. He charged out onto the grounds, twisting about, searching, his shard blade flashing in the darkness as it reflected starlight. Lift safely reached the upper reaches of the palace, hidden in the shadows there. She squatted down, hands around her knees, feeling cold.
You barely knew him, yet you mourn.
She nodded.
You've seen much death. I know it. Aren't you accustomed to it?
She shook her head. Below, the minion moved off, hunting farther and farther for her. She was free.
Climb across the roof, slip down on the other side, disappear.
She saw motion on the wall at the edge of the grounds. Those moving shadows were men. The other thieves were climbing their wall and disappearing into the night. Hukin had left his nephew, as expected.
Who will cry for Gox? Nobody. They'll be forgotten, abandoned.
Lift released her legs and crawled across the curved bulb of the roof toward the window she'd entered earlier. Her vines from the seeds, unlike the ones Window grew, were still alive. They'd overgrown the window, leaves quivering in the wind.
Run! Go!
You spoke of something earlier.
Regrowth. Each bond grants power over two surges. You can influence how things grow.
Can I use this to help Cox?
If you were better trained, yes. As it stands, I doubt it. You aren't very strong, aren't very practiced. And he might be dead already. Why do you care?
Because someone has to.
For once, Lift ignored what her gut was telling her and, instead, climbed through the window. She crossed the room in a dash.
Out into the upstairs hallway, onto the steps.
She soared down them, leaping most of the distance.
Through a doorway, turn left. Down the hallway, left again.
A crowd in the rich corridor. Lift reached them, then wiggled through. She didn't need her awesomeness for that. She'd been slipping through cracks in crowds since she started walking. Gox lay in a pool of blood that had darkened the fine carpet. The viziers and guards surrounded him. Lift crawled up to him. His body was still warm, but the blood seemed to have stopped flowing. His eyes were closed.
Too late?
I don't know.
What do I do?
I'm not sure, mistress. The transition to your side was difficult and left holes in my memory, even with the precautions my people took.
She set Gox on his back, face toward the sky. He wasn't really anything to her. That was true.
We barely just met, and he was a fool. I told him to go back.
But this was who she was, who she had to be.
I will remember those who have been forgotten.
Lift leaned forward, touched her forehead to his, and breathed out. A shimmering something left her lips, a little cloud of glowing light. It hung in front of Gox's lips.
Come on.
It stirred, then drew in through his mouth. A hand took Lift by the shoulder, pulling her away from Gox. She sagged, suddenly exhausted. Real exhausted, so much so that even standing was difficult. Darkness pulled her by the shoulder away from the crowd.
Come.
Gox stirred. The vizier's attention was turning toward the youth as he sat up.
It appears that you are an edge dancer.
Darkness steered her down the corridor as the crowd moved in around Gox.
I wondered which of the two you would be.
Edge dancer? I don't know what that is.
There was once a glorious order. Where you blunder, they were elegant things of beauty. They could ride the thinnest rope at speed, dance across rooftops, move through a battlefield like a ribbon on the wind.
That sounds amazing.
Yes. It is unfortunate that they were always so concerned with small-minded things, while ignoring those of greater import. It appears you share their temperament. You have become one of them.
I didn't mean to.
I realize this.
Why do you hunt me?
In the name of justice.
There are tons of people who do wrong things. You could have hunted big crime bosses, murderers. You chose me instead. Why?
Others may be detestable, but they do not dabble in arts that can return desolation to this world. What you are must be stopped.
Lift felt numb. She tried to summon her awesomeness, but she'd used it all up, and then some, probably. Darkness turned her and pushed her against the wall. She couldn't stand and slumped down, sitting. Wendell moved up beside her, spreading out a starburst of creeping vines. Darkness knelt next to her. He held out his hand.
I saved him. I did something good, didn't I?
Goodness is irrelevant.
His shard blade dropped into his fingers.
You don't even care, do you?
No, I don't.
You should. You should try it. I mean, I wanted to be like you once. Didn't work out. I wasn't even like being alive.
Darkness raised his blade. Lift closed her eyes.
She is pardoned!
Darkness's grip on her shoulder tightened. Feeling completely drained, like somebody had held her up by the toes and squeezed everything out of her, Lift forced her eyes to open. Gox stumbled to a stop beside them. Behind, the viziers and scions moved up as well. Clothing bloodied, his eyes wide, Gox clutched a piece of paper in his hand. He thrust this at Darkness.
I pardon this girl. Release her, Constable.
Who are you to do such a thing?
I am the Prime Akasix, ruler of Azir.
Ridiculous.
The Catasixes have spoken.
The Heralds. They have done no such thing. You are mistaken.
We have voted. This young man's application was the best.
What application? He is a thief.
He performed the miracle of regrowth. He was dead and he returned. What better application could we ask for?
A sign has been given. We have a prime who can survive the attacks of the One All-White. Praise to Yezir, Catasix of Kings. May he lead in wisdom. This youth is prime. He has been prime always. We have only now realized it, and beg his forgiveness for not seeing the truth sooner.
As it always has been done, as it will be done again. Stand down, Constable. You have been given an order.
Darkness studied Lift. She smiled tiredly.
Show the starving man some teeth. That's the right of it.
His shard blade vanished to mist. He'd been bested, but he didn't seem to care. Not a curse, not even a tightening of the eyes. He stood up and pulled on his gloves by the cuffs, first one, then the other.
Praise Yezir, Herald of Kings. May he lead in wisdom, if he ever stops drooling.
Darkness bowed to the new prime, then left with a sure step.
Does anyone know the name of that constable? When did we start letting officers of the law requisition shard blades?
Gox knelt beside Lift.
So you're an emperor or something now?
Yeah, I'm still confused. It seems I performed a miracle or something.
Good for you. Can I eat your dinner?